I want us to go back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. I'm not very good at this. So, Mike, could you do me a favor and draw me two circles up there? What's that? I figured you're an engineer. You can draw a circle better than me. Just put like one here and one here. There'd be better circles than me. There you go. That looks good. That's better than I can do. Thank you. That is good. What's really do? Before we get into verses 18 through 27, which we'll get into next week, verses 18 through 27 deal with the wrong kind of faith. And it deals with antichrist, plural, many. Not one, but many. And we're going to get into that next week. But I want us to go back to verse 17. And keep in mind verses 15 through 17. But go back to verse 17 where it says the world is passing away, its lust, its desires. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. I believe that in our day and age, in the world in which we live in today, it's imperative that we in the church get a handle on this. And I'll show you in a minute why I had Mike draw those two circles. What John is describing for us, and it goes to the heart of the church today. It goes to our hearts today. For we, Christians, we're the church. What John is doing here is and I'm going to come back to this, but he's drawing a sharp line, and you're going to see why I mean a sharp line between these circles. John is drawing a very sharp, distinct line here. John's view of the church. Now, remember this, that John is an apostle. He was one of the 12, one of the closest to Jesus. So it's not wise to dismiss what he's saying and what he's trying to teach us here. His view of the church is indeed, and I believe Paul taught the same thing. I believe we also see that in the other epistles writers. Peter, Jude, that there is a separation. And that the church is one of separation. And I do believe it teaches in the New Testament. I do believe that what John is teaching us here, what Peter teaches, Jude teaches, Paul teaches, is that the Christian worldview is indeed a radical one. Now, you know, we see a lot of radical people around today, don't we? Well, the church is to be radical. But the church is to be radical in a certain way. Our worldview as the church, our worldview as Christians, whether people like it or not, it's a radical one. Radical more than anything else. Because what it does is that Christian worldview, what it does, it causes us to divorce ourselves, separate ourselves from the world. From the things of the world. And it demands it. You read throughout throughout the New Testament, throughout the epistles, even Jesus demands that. It's not something that we can choose to do whether or not we want to or not. He demands it. And the epistles demanded that we divorce ourselves from a hostile world. And that, brothers and sisters, is unpopular today. It's unpopular in our day and age. As a biblical scholar, Gary Berge brings out, John paints a portrait of a community under siege. He paints a portrait of a community under siege, a community infiltrated by saboteurs with hostile opposition at every turn. And next week we're going to begin to get into that as we learn about the Antichrist, plural. Berge goes on further to state this, and it's questions that we need to ask ourselves in this day and age. He says this, is separatism good? Is separation good? Is it wrong? He said, its moral value is hinged directly to the character of the environment surrounding the church. If the church is threatened, and brothers and sisters, if this doesn't go to our day and age, to us today, then we're misunderstanding. And what he says, if the church is threatened, that's us. Not a building, it's us, the church. If the church is threatened by a hostile, aggressive society, separatism might be a valid strategy for survival. A couple of years ago, Rod Dreher wrote a book called The Benedict Option that talks about that very thing, that I think it would be well for us to read. And the reason why I had Mike draw these circles, and Gary Berge gives a good explanation of this. Lines separated, dramatic line. Here's the church. Okay. And here's the church. Here's what was happening in John's day and age. But it's also happening today. This is the world. Those that are outside the church. Those things that are hostile to the church. This was John's day. World's here. The church is here. In John's day and age, the church was being bombarded by the world and by the things of the world. That's why John's saying what he does. But now here, on the other hand, what Jesus was trying to teach us, when he said, we are to be what? We are to be in the world, but not of it. So here's really the model of what the church should be and what we should be doing today. Out here is the world. This is what could be called an open model, which we all don't see today. This is the world. Here's the church. Put an arrow here. Put an arrow here. An arrow here. Arrow here. Here. An arrow here. Put arrows all around there, see? But what is that describing, see? What that describes is, here, what we have is the church in John's day, and what we even have today, the church and the world. And the world is bombarding the church. It's hostile, it's aggressive to the church. But what's the church doing, see? Not a blessed thing. And what's happening is, the world is influencing the church. What this means is, and the way what Jesus wants, and what John is talking about here, and the way the church should be, see the arrow here? This means is that the church, it's not that the church ignores the world. But the church goes into the world to bring others from the world into the church. That's the open model. That's what Jesus would have. So, the question. If the church is threatened by a hostile, aggressive society, is separation a valid strategy for survival? What say you? See, that's things for us to talk, to ponder on, to think about, and even to discuss among one another. And I'm going to show you why in just a few minutes. You see, the problem we have today, I'm not saying we do, but many do. The problem we have today that there are so many in the church who do not see the world as hostile, as aggressive, as in opposition. There's so many in the church that do not see that. There's so many in the church today who do not see our educational system. From public school, elementary, grade school, middle school, high school, to college and up, as hostile to the Christian faith, as hostile to the church. Many don't see it. Many don't see that our political, our politics, if you want to call it that, are opposed to the church. But then I want to give you a couple of examples of that I just ran upon this week to show you this. Are you aware that in California, as this article states, in the latest and most egregious example of attempted government overreach, California legislators have proposed, this is not fake news, this is true. California legislators have proposed a bill that would dictate what preachers can preach from the pulpit. Specifically, assembly concurrent, you can look it up. Specifically, assembly concurrent resolution 99 calls on, quote, counselors. That would include me. I'm a licensed pastoral counselor. Calls on, of course, thankfully we're not in California. You know, we are in Washington, but if it happens in California, could it not happen here? Assembly Concurrent Resolution 99 calls on, quote, counselors, pastors, religious workers, educators, and institutions with great moral influence to stop perpetuating the idea that something is wrong with LGBT identities or sexual behavior. Assembly Current Resolution 99 condemns attempts to change unwanted same-sex attraction or gender confusion as unethical. Talking about calling evil good. As unethical and harmful and leading to high rates of suicide. What that is, and what they're trying to pass through is that to stop us from preaching what the Word says. Now, another one. One more example. Many more, but one more example I came across this week. When I was in high school, I used to belong to Fellowship of Christian Athletes. You ever heard of that? We used to have Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We used to have huddles. Well, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes has been told to change its theology at a Montana high school. That's in Bozeman, Montana. You see, they say apparently Fellowship of Christian Athletes adult leaders are required to adhere to a statement of faith and a behavior code that affirms that God instituted marriage as a union between one man and one woman, and that homosexuality and sex outside of marriage are not acceptable to God. But FCA does not require pledges of purity or behavior codes of students participating in school chapters. Nevertheless, the school board in Bozeman, Montana, gave the Fellowship of Christian Athletes faculty advisor two choices. Change his name and continue as an inclusive Christian club, meaning to compromise their statement, their understanding, their biblical understanding of marriage and sexuality. Or stay as a Fellowship of Christian Athletes club, but only with an unofficial status, a designation which deprives it of using any official school communication channels, such as intercom announcements,